shit's fire.
This is a fucking banger.
Ladies and gentlemen, cats, snakes, dogs, chicken, elderly people, workers, and twerkers.
Damn.
Turn it up.
I don't give a fuck.
It's the ruckus. What the fuck you expect?
I body slapped my wife, my nigga, man.
Watch how we go down.
Primo.
Yeah.
What up, Tom?
Tell me your name.
Terminology. Show up.
Word up. Word
rest.
Up.
Watch how we go down.
Hey, yo, Prem.
Yeah. What's good?
Seeing that it's 2006.
Uh-huh.
And this being the honor that it is.
Word.
I figured I'll take it and teach the kids.
Watch how we go down.
Out here on these streets, all we got is gun clips, dirty chins, as you in this itch.
That's
uh-huh. Can't forget about the drug strips,
out. Shit.
Something else
on the line?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just, yeah, let me get my questions prepared.
What up, what up? It's your boy Cuban Mike, a.k.a. Big L Stunt Double. And tonight, I got my man's in them. You know, we go way back since what, 97, 98?
Yup.
You know, what can I say? This man's a legend. You know, repping 978, Boricua to the fullest, Law Town to the fullest. I got my brother Terminology. What's going on, man?
Yo, Mike, what up, bro?
Long time overdue, man.
You know it.
So right now we got what, the latest album, Determination, what is like your 50th project right now?
That's the 45.
45? And where were you going with it musically on this one?
So Determination, is an album that I had done for like about 6 months, and then I got the Paul Wall deal. So when we got the Paul Wall deal, we put Determination on hold. But during that time, I had some people pass away, like Kay Slay. He's on the intro. Rest in peace, Kay Slay.
Mm-hmm.
My father passed away. I had two uncles pass away. I had two aunts pass away. So, you know, there's some real personal records on Determination, including the intro, including the outro, and stuff like that. But I also got to hit some milestones, like doing a song and video with Coogee Rap, you know, stuff like that. So there's some real dope moments on Determination, but it's a very personal project.
All right, all right. And I also saw the track list, and I see that Kay Slay is right in the intro. How big was he? How much of an impact he was on your career back? Because I know you guys did a mixtape together. So yeah. I was...
Slay was huge for my career because, you know, to be honest, like, I was the only Massachusetts artist on his mixtapes for years. I'm on 14 Kay Slay mixtapes. So, you know, before now it's like a lot of artists in the city's popping, but if you go back to, like, 2007... 2008, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, it wasn't really nobody from the city popping or really just from Mass in general. So once a year, he would reach out and be like, yo, Term, I need you on this. Or he would call me up to Shade 45 to get on his ciphers. So I built a good relationship with him. And he included me in some legendary moments. And I considered him a friend. And I was just really sad that, you know, that he passed away. But I will say that I am happy to have him, you know, featured on my album and at least get that super dope moment with him before he passed away.
Yeah, and you were in the 50 Deep MC, what's the name
I'm
of the damn
job? Rolling 50 Deep,
yeah.
I'm on Rolling 110 Deep, and
yeah.
I'm on Rolling 200 Deep.
God damn it.
Which is an hour and a half song that we're about to drop. You know, K-Slay's family is putting it together now, so it's 200 MCs on this last one, and it's pretty crazy, man, because... Even actually, Melly Mel was on one of them too.
Okay.
But it's just crazy, man, because it's like he was able to put all these rappers together, and I don't think anybody else but Kay Slay could have got 110 rappers together. You're talking about rappers from New York who don't even necessarily like each other.
Yeah.
You're talking about legends like Grandmaster Cass. We're talking about rappers that are like 20s to rappers who are 50s and 60s. I'm talking about like Coke LaRock, the first rapper ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he put Terminology on a song with Black Thought and Coke LaRock.
It's just legends upon legends.
It's just so crazy,
yeah,
to have the respect from the industry that he had, and we're gonna miss him, man.
Yeah, rest in peace, Kay Slay. I want to backpedal for a second. How did you connect with Paul Wall, knowing that you're from Mass and him down south? But yeah, I know there seems to be like a little bit of segregation in hip hop, but you guys were able to connect. And me coming up north, I really do sleep on like the underground heads. Coming from down south, like cats like Paul Walker, I didn't know he was that much of a nerd like that. And also with Bun B.
Yeah.
How did that collaboration came about?
Well, Paul just wants people to know he could rap, right? He's had hit records. He's had big moments in hip-hop. He was part of the whole Houston movement when they really, you know, started taking over music in like 05, 06 era. And so, you know, Paul's a legend in his own right.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, he gets known as like a commercial rapper, or he gets known as like, you know, almost like a gimmick type of rapper, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And people catch on to his catchphrase is like, I got the internet going nuts. Yeah. So if you hear that, you're not necessarily hearing some lyricism. And him connecting with Static, they worked on a project and it came out good. So then, you know, during the pandemic, Paul hit me and told me he wanted to do a project with me. And we just carried on what he had going with Static and took it to the next level. But I'll tell you this, one thing about Paul, he just wants people to know he could really rap.
Good.
He's all for the culture. He's all for hip hop. All
right. That's what's up. Good Dad Gang movement. How did you came about with that movement?
So Good Dad Gang is a movement that inspires fathers to be in their kids' life. And, you know, me and all my bros, all of us who have kids, we take it very seriously, and we love our kids, and we're all in our kids' life, and we want to be the best dad we can be, whether it's because we didn't have a dad or we had a bad relationship with our dad, or even we had a good dad and we're trying to carry on tradition. Most of us were raised with just mom. Most of us were raised without a positive role model in our house. So, you know, what we try to do is, you know, we just try to motivate dudes to just be the best parent they can be. And the movement started in 2014 as a hashtag on Instagram. It turned into like a clothing brand, and now it's so much more. It's a lifestyle. We got 100 people who have tattoos. We have, you know, have sold thousands of clothes. We got big collaborations with, you know, Patrick Ewing. We have our own sneaker. You know, different companies, DJ Premier, Gangstar, Good Dad Gangstar collaboration, Diamond Supply. Just so many big collabs and so much positive stuff going on, and so many positive role models for these kids. And it moved on to backpack giveaways. We gave away 1,200 backpacks in Lawrence over the summer. We just did a turkey drive in New York. So, you know, we're all for the community, man. We're all for giving back. And it's just something positive. There's so much negative in hip-hop, and there's so much negative in our life that, you know, we found something positive that we can hold on to and promote.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Couple more questions. I'll get you out of here, man. No majors. You going to stay indie? No major labels,
like,
or no?
I feel like in this era, bro, it's like you don't really need a label. I think we all started out chasing that label because labels make superstars, and everybody wants their music to be heard, and everybody wants to be able to make top quality music and top quality videos and go on big tours. And we all know that takes a lot of money, but at the same time, you know, you lose a lot of your freedom. You get stuck in whack deals. You end up having to work with people you don't want to work with. You lose your masters. So there's ups and downs to it. And I've never been on a major, but I've been on big labels that were subsidiaries of majors. Like when I was signed to Nature Sounds, they were signed to EMI. So at the same time, I'm on EMI. It's Fat Joe's there and Janet Jackson and other big artists. So they kind of put you on these smaller labels. And if you perform well in a small label, they bump you up and they give you a bigger budget.
All right,
and, so, you know, just for me, I would say that whatever makes sense for me, if something makes sense, we do it. But right now, it's all about me putting out my own records. I'm happy with that.
Cool. So what's up next for Term?
Man, you know, holidays are coming, bro. You know, just trying to chill with the fam, calm down. I've been running around like crazy. I got a couple more projects coming out. So me and Paul Wall ran it back. We did another album we got dropping top of the year. We started Physiology Part 2. With me and Lil Fame from MOP. I got a compilation coming out called Rapping With My Friends. So, you know, that's dropping. And, yeah, it's a lot of music. It's a lot of Good Dad Gang, a lot of collaborations, some productions. I'm writing a book. I don't really want to tell people the title of the book, but, you know, it's basically a Good Dad Gang book to try to help fathers. So, you know, I got all that going on. All
right, what's up, man? Well, man, again, Term, thanks. And in case you didn't know, I'm going to send you a flower because you're an ultimate legend. We got love here in Mass, Law Town, all over. And this is your boy, Keep It Mike, man, a.k.a. Big L Stunt Double. So you can catch me here on every Friday, 7 to 8 p.m. And that's a joke behind the Big L Stunt Double joke. But hopefully we're going to get the podcast going, because next time I link up with you, like, I want to, like, do the party, like, nerd out. We'll talk about all the insane shenanigans you got me in trouble with my mom back in the day. So
Big Law Town.
Yeah, thanks.
Love you, Mike. Salute.
All right, man. 102.9 Ted Deck. We out.
All right, we heading down. Yeah, next time when you do the podcast, I'll call 41 Bumby Underground Artist, and I'm back to record, though. So fuck your home.
see. Test D, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. What is going on? It's your boy, Cuban Mike. You're listening here to the Tape Deck. And today, I'm here in Emerson College, and I have a legend. Legend is an understatement. This man has done so much for the culture that you guys need to put some motherfucking respect to his damn name. He's done so much for the culture. He's, you know, a pioneer to this game. I got Melly Mel here with me. How you doing here, sir?
Good, good. How you doing, my brother?
Nervous as hell. I ain't gonna lie to you. I ain't gonna fucking front. I'm not even supposed to come for this age. I am nervous as hell because I never thought I had the opportunity to be a legend in my presence. So thank you. First and foremost, I want to say thank you for everything you've done for the culture.
Thank you.
Being from New Jersey, not knowing the lick of English, and hip hop was one of the first things that I got introduced to when I was learning how to speak English. And I would say that The Message was one of the first songs I was learning when I was a kid.
My brother.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to come from a hip-hop nerd perspective because I know your history, but I don't know your history. So I first want to know, like, how did you got connected with the Furious Five and Grandmaster Flash?
Well, I started out actually as a B-boy.
Yeah.
Because there was no such thing as spitting rhymes or whatever back then. It was just, you know, it was DJs and then it was B-boys. So I started out as a B-boy. And Flash used to just have a mic sitting on the side. There was nobody actually talking on the mic. Like I herking them, you know, they had dudes that could talk on the mic, but Flash was just primarily a DJ. And me and my brother, you know, used to mess around on the mic. And Cowboy was already with Flash, so he was the one guy that did get on the mic.
Okay.
So me and my brother started putting routines together. And then we got with Cowboy, so that was how the group started. It was the 3 MCs. That was our original name, the 3 MCs. And then when we added Mr. Ness, who changed his name to Scorpio, and that's how we took the name the Furious Four.
Right.
And then when we got Raheem, Raheem was with a group called the Funky Four, plus one more.
Okay.
And we took Raheem from that group, and then that's how we became Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five.
And then later on came Flash, and that's how you guys connected with him?
No, we was all
okay, MC okay. And this was like, I mean, I was too young to...
This was really like 76, 77, going into 78. That, you know, it was, you know, and we was basically, street DJs. In the summer, we did block parties.
Yeah, the block parties.
And then in the winter, we, you know, was indoors, you know, the big indoor parties and, you know.
Okay. Yeah. That's what's up. And when you guys made The Message, I mean, hip-hop was like such an infant genre. Was it a situation that you guys knew it was going to be a hit? And if you didn't, once you found out that it was a hit, like, what was the reaction on that?
Well, nobody thought that The Message was going to be a hit. Even the guy, The Message is just two writers, as far as lyrically on The Message. Is Ed Fletcher, which is the other voice on The Message, Duke Booty, and it's me. He wrote the basic song, but the story behind that is he had two songs. He had a song called Dumb Love, and then he had the lyrics to The Message.
Okay.
And he actually wanted to do Dumb Love, but the only one that believed that record was gonna be as good as it was Miss Sylvia Robinson.
Okay.
So she produced the record, and she took a portion of a record that we did when we signed with another record company and put it on the end. That's the Child Is Born rhyme. And then that's how you get the finished product of The Message. But nobody, and we weren't even supposed to do The Message. The Message was supposed to be a Sugar Hill Gang song. But
really?
Like the record.
Really?
Yeah, because we had a song out. We had, I think it's Nasty, Happy Birthday, one of them songs. We had a song out, but nobody wanted to do it. And she just was so adamant about actually doing the song. And I wind up caving in and doing, you know, she tried a couple of different voices, but she only liked my voice, and then she liked the way Duke Booty came across, so that's how it came, you know, Grandmaster Flash and Furious Five featuring Duke Booty.
Thank you for caving in, man. Thank you for caving in. So with that being said, you know, I won't take too much of your time. You know, we're having a real war with hip-hop, you know, with the young generation and, you know, the OGs. Are you guys able to embrace the new generation, or you're in a situation, you know what, let them stick to their lane and let them do what they do?
Yeah, I don't think they're embraceable like that. Number one, and number two, I don't think we should have to. If they did better off the culture than we did. So why would I have to be humble when you thank you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Y'all came up.
Yeah.
We took the hit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And this goes, this not only for now, I mean going back to all the other eras in hip hop, when these guys came out, they thought that they was doing something so different and so new, but you know, it's only music. It's just like a young lady, he just played the song for me today. A young lady just did the message. Is that a new song or is that an old song?
Yeah.
It's music.
Yeah.
So, you know, what they doing right now is no more different than what we was doing, but it's just the subject matter is different. But it's not the fact that we should embrace them. They should embrace us because we're the culture. The pleasure's all yours.
Yeah.
We gave you a culture. You know what I'm saying? We gave you a life. We gave you a career.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
And it's fair to say that because you guys really took the hit because, I mean, people are still getting jerk in the music industry. But back in the days, like, they were getting, like, beyond jerk in this situation. That I know a lot of artists, they speak up right now, but they had no lawyers. They had no representation. They said, sign this and we'll trust us. And it was like, there's no trust in this. So, yes, again, thank you. Million, million thank yous. Okay, I got one last question. This is a personal one because I'm, again, hip-hop nerd. I'm a big stan of Tupac, and I keep hearing something that you guys are going to work before he died, this East Coast, West Coast thing called the One Nation album. Were you a part of that?
We was working on a situation where his crew, we had a record deal put together where his crew and us was going to sign with a record label. It was called Straight Game Records. And he had got murdered shortly before, and that's when the deal fell through.
Yeah.
But that was the last thing, you know, the next thing that he was going to be working on to get his group signed.
The Outlaws, though. The cool Outlaws.
Yeah, and then obviously he would, you know, he would be on a track or whatever.
All right.
And, yeah, and I think... I think right now, Pac is needed more than anything because he ain't lying. Everybody's still chasing his legacy, and they just know him for his music. He's known, you know, for a lot more than that. He was talking about voters registration back then when nobody was talking about it. So right now he would be, you know, the voice of clarity, you know, amongst all this and not just everything being about, you know, being a gangster.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think he's missed, as far as that goes, he's very much missed.
Yeah. All right, one last question. What's up? What's next for Melly Mel? We have like anything with music or films?
We've always been working on music. I'm going to put out a Christmas song in about another 2 days.
All right.
It's called Every Christmas, but more R&B than singing, but you know. And of course, we got music, but we just trying to figure out the best way to actually promote it so that it don't sound like, you know, we doing something, you know, so different because it's basically just music, you know.
All right.
You know, I might do a trap record or something.
All right, man. Well, thank you. Thanks again. And again, a million and one thank you for the things you've done for hip hop and the culture. And thank you for not being hard on me. So, man. All right, this is Cuban Mike. You've been listening to The Tape Deck, and I'll catch you next time, y'all. Peace.
Broken glass everywhere, people pissing on the stage, you know they just don't care. I can't take the smell, can't take the noise, got no money to move out, I guess I got no choice.